Welcome to In Media Les, a podcast about queer relationships in media. I'm Chloe.
And I'm Val.
And today, we're going to do something a little different. This is going to be like our recent stuff we enjoyed. Maybe not all of it has to be queer.
Oh, thank God. That was going to be one of my questions. I was like, does it have to be gay? Because that's going to be a short episode.
It doesn't have to be queer, although everything I chose was queer because, I don't know, I'm an overachiever. and we're going to try and, like, pitch it to each other and be like, hey, Val, here's why you should watch this show. And we'll just, like, alternate taking turns, going through some things we're enjoying, and, like, try and get the other person to maybe give it a chance. Uh-huh. And so with that in mind, would you like to go first? Or should I go first?
Absolutely not. You start off.
I'm going to start us off because I started thinking about this show after we were recording the episode, the Owl House episode, where we talked about Cosmic Frontier, which is just a Star Trek parody. And so I started thinking about Star Trek Lower Decks, which is an animated Star Trek show starring Tawny Newsome, Jack Quaid, Noelle Wells, and Eugene Cordero. And I want to start by saying I am not a big Star Trek fan. Like, I didn't grow up watching it. I feel like some people, like, really grew up with it, and they can tell you, like, all the things that happen, and they've got a favorite captain, and I don't know, like, you know, people who are into Star Trek can be really into Star Trek. I am not one of those people. And I do think that some of the humor in Star Trek Lower Decks is, like, targeted towards those people. But that being said, as someone who does not know any of, like, there's, like, I don't even know why Klingons are the way they are, but it's still a really good show is what I want to say. You don't have to have Star Trek experience to watch Lower Decks and find it funny. So it's about, follows kind of four key crew members, but they're not, like, the officers like it usually is in a normal Star Trek, I guess. Instead, they're, like, junior members. Like, they're on the lower decks, right? They're not on the bridge. It's just about their adventures and them, like, solving problems, just like, I think, regular Star Trek, except they're a lot goofier. And I think the standout here that you would love, Val, is Tawny Newsome's character, who is named, Beckett Mariner. And just, she's just, like, very much a chaos goblin.
I appreciate those.
And she's pansexual.
I appreciate those, too. I think
that gets established in the second season. And she's, like, one of those people, she's just, like, the joke is that she's, like, a Mary Sue, because she's, like, the captain's daughter, and this all-around, you know, like, excellent, like, fighter, and she can solve all the problems. And she's an alcoholic.
Oh, excellent.
And she's smuggling things. And so she's, like, breaking all the rules and always gets away with it. And the kind of joke is that everyone hates her because she's awful, but she's too competent that they can't, like, do anything about her. She's great.
Okay, I think you would love her already.
You also have Jack Quaid, who, if you've watched The Boys, he's the main guy in The Boys, just as kind of Beckett's foil. He's a really by the book kind of nerdy guy, and I think the two of them bounce off each other well. I don't know, I just think in general it's just a really fun show. It's really easy to watch, you know. It's like most animated shows, it's like a 20-25 minute episode, and I don't know, I think it's really great. Just fun little sci-fi short adventures. Almost all of them wrap up one story. It's kind of like a Mission of the Week type storyline.
I like those.
And yeah, I highly recommend. And there is some queerness, and you know, because Beckett does have a girlfriend for a little while.
Oh, so that's, I'm gonna cute. Say,
yeah.
Okay.
So, okay, I guess the question we should ask at the end of each of these pitches is, like, are you convinced? Will you go out and watch this?
I am convinced. I was about to tell you. You mentioned this a few months ago.
Yeah.
Kind of like offhandedly. Yeah. I opened the tab in my phone and I still have it open.
you're one of those people who never closes tabs. It drives me crazy. I have to close tabs.
I close tabs everywhere except on my phone. I keep them as bookmarks. I don't know why I can't just use normal bookmarks, but like I just keep certain tabs open so that I remember about it. I have the I have Practical Guide open. I have that open. I have like a comic that someone, like one of my friends, was like, "You should read this." Open for like a year and a half. I obviously have not read it, but yeah, I think you sold it to me better this time than the last time when you're like, "This show is pretty good. You should watch it."
I've watched more of it. Like I finished the second season a couple weeks ago and started on the third. And so I have more of a sense of like what it's about. And I think it develops a bit. Like there's more, there's as always happens with shows like this, there's more through lines as the show progresses. Mm-hmm. And it's fun. I don't know. The characters do show some growth. They do seem to, it's not like some animated series, like, I don't know, like Simpsons or Family Guy, where they go back to square one at the end of each episode. But there is some like character growth, which is nice to see as well. But still, it really is just a mission of the week type story, which is good. I like it. I think it is your turn.
It is my turn.
So it is your turn.
I will start off with something queer.
Okay.
So there's that. Have you seen the show Feel Good?
No.
Okay. So the show is, I believe, written by the comedian. But do you know Mae Martin?
No.
Okay. Google. I feel like you would, just like visually.
Okay. So yeah, they did Feel Good. You've mentioned this before, I think, actually.
Probably. They created the show, and Mae Martin is the main actor and the creator, and it's kind of really funny because it has a lot to do with their queerness, because they start dating this woman who comes to their comedy show. And in the show at that point, Mae uses she, her, so I'm just going to go with that. And basically, it's just like a very, very quick watch, and it's about queerness and kind of accepting it, being out, because her girlfriend has never dated a woman before. And so it's like that for the girlfriend, and Mae herself has some substance abuse issues and things like that. So there's some of that, there's trauma, and it's like a pretty silly show. It loses it a little bit in the second half of the second season. Like, it gets a little too raunchy at moments. But also, like, I'm a prude, so who knows. But, I don't know, like, I watched it all in one sitting.
Yeah.
I started watching it at, like, 11 p.m. I'm like, oh, what's this? I just finished some movie. I turned on one episode just to be like, I recognize that comedian from some stuff that I've seen of theirs. And then, let me just try this. And it was really good. And then I finished watching the show at like 3 a.m. And I'm like, oh no, it's 3 a.m. So it's pretty good.
Yeah.
I felt personally attacked a few times throughout it because they say some lines. And I'm like, oh, psychoanalyze me.
Okay, you can't say that without telling it. Tell us one of the lines, Val. Come on.
Well, I don't have them specifically, but like, and this doesn't necessarily pertain to me entirely. But at some point, her girlfriend asks, because she gets misgendered.
Yeah.
And she asks, like, are you okay? Like, what's up? And Mae says, no, it's fine. It happens all the time. And then the girlfriend asks, which would you prefer?
Yeah.
And she doesn't know. And, like, there's a lot of little things like that that are kind of, like, super cute. But also, like, sometimes they say some stuff. I'm like, I don't want to watch this because I quit therapy. Like, I don't need this again. I don't need this mirror held up to me.
Okay.
And it's not necessarily just with, like, the main character, but, like, just in general, sometimes things happen in that show that I'm like, I'm gonna go take a walk.
Okay.
But overall, it's just a funny show, and it's very quick, and the dry humor is very British, which I love.
So is it really just a kind of like slice of life?
Kinda.
What do you say?
Okay. I think it's like 20-minute episodes as well.
But like, it's just about her being the character's life?
Kinda, but it is about their relationship. Like, them getting into a relationship.
Okay.
And the things that come with that.
Okay.
It's really good.
Interesting.
It's really fun. I'll have to check it out. I did watch it a few months ago.
Okay.
So I don't remember it.
And it's only clearly. Two seasons?
It's only two seasons. Okay. It is, I think, only like 12 episodes, honestly.
Yeah, like all good British shows, there's very few episodes.
Yep.
Yep.
Super quick.
It looks like it's on Netflix.
Yes, it is. You can watch it on Netflix.
Okay. Before Netflix implodes in a few months, right?
What's happening in a few months?
Oh, this is their whole like rolling out the like.
Oh, you can't the share your password thing. I thought they canceled that except for in Canada.
No, I don't know. I think it's coming. It's coming. Sooner or later, it's coming. I don't know what I'm going to do because I use my friend's parents' brother's account, something like that. There's several degrees of separation between me and the Netflix account I use.
Yeah, that's anyway. Wild.
Anyway, I think it is. I will check it out. Yeah, I'm convinced. You know, I like a good. So is Mae Martin British?
No.
Okay.
They're American, I believe, but they moved there. The special that I've seen of theirs was in like UK, I believe, but I've seen it years ago, so I'm not sure.
Okay.
But I feel like they moved there.
No, the wiki says a Canadian comedian.
Okay. Canadian.
So Mae is Canadian, but this is a British show.
Yes.
Okay.
I didn't do research. I'm just going off of vibes.
I'm looking at the wiki. Cool. I'll check it out. I'm Googling my next one. Okay. No, I know what my next one. I just want to have like the wiki open so I can talk about it correctly.
You talk about it incorrectly, bro.
Okay. I'll talk about it incorrectly. So my next one is the one good anime.
Oh no.
Which is what I call every anime I like, which is now a couple. This is a game that came out in January. It is called Fire Emblem Engage, developed by Intelligent Systems and published by Nintendo for the Nintendo Switch. I don't know why I love the Fire Emblem game so much, because it's just battle chess with waifus. How I describe it. It is a tactical combat game where you've got like a top-down grid turn-based combat thing going on where like I don't know, characters with swords beat characters with axes beat characters with lances, and characters with lances beat characters with swords. It's like a very like there's this like weapon triangle that it uses. But okay, let me think how I would sell this to you, because this is a tough sell. I think unless like the idea of waifu chess simulator sounds good to you. So Fire Emblem Engage, it's like a Saturday morning cartoon in a lot of senses. Like everything's super goofy. You play as a character who's called the Divine Dragon, but as far as I can tell, you're just like a human with like toothpaste hair.
Okay.
I'm going to send you a picture of the protagonist. You tell me that this is not toothpaste hair.
All right, I'm ready.
Like, it looks like the Crest logo.
It does. But the first thing I thought of was Coke versus Pepsi.
Okay, that too. Coke versus Pepsi, toothpaste, you know, like whatever you want to call her. She's
both sides of the lesbian hair. Relationship.
Yes.
The red and the blue.
The basic idea of it is that you are this, like, savior figure. You wake up, you recruit a series of waifus and husbandos, and you go to war. And then you have a bunch of anime characters fighting a war. The reason I got into it was actually because one of our friends, Sarah, bought me Fire Emblem Awakening for my 3DS back in, like, 2014. And I had never heard of Fire Emblem. Like, I could not tell you anything about it up until that point. And then I played this game and I was like, this rules. Like, it really is just a tactical combat with anime characters. And it's not trying to be too much. And I think it's self-aware of its own goofiness. Like, there's a character in Fire Emblem Engage that greets you with Hiya Papaya.
Okay, I like them.
That, yeah, she's
something
great.
I would say.
Yeah, right? Hiya Papaya. And it turns out that she's like, maybe is secretly an assassin that was sent to kill you.
Oh, that's hot.
Like, I'm not that far into the story yet, because I've been replaying it, trying to get, like, the perfect game. But, I it's a fun, goofy anime tactical combat game. If you like tactical combat, like, if you like XCOM or, I'm trying, Advance Wars or what's the other one? I am blanking on it. But if you like that sort of game, I recommend Fire Emblem Engage. And there is, like, I should mention there's a whole relationship system as well. And, like,
why didn't you start with that?
Because I forgot. As you develop relationships with characters, you get, like, bonuses. But, like, you can also, like, form a relationship with one character. And it can vary. You know, some of them are very...
No, two hands.
Well, foiled some of them are very... And also, some of them are very platonic.
Okay.
Like those. Because, well, because some of them, they're probably underage, so they gotcha. Need to be platonic. Okay. But other ones are definitely very romantic, and they can be same-sex. So you can definitely have same-sex relationships as either the male or female main character with members of the same gender. And I don't know, there's some other, like, kind of queer themes. Like, there's definitely a character, I would call them pretty non-binary. The game, I think, uses male pronouns for him, but, like, he strikes me as, like, it's a Japanese game, so they don't have quite the same terminology we do, mm-hmm. but I feel like if it was made by an American company, they would have probably used they/them pronouns.
Let's be real, they wouldn't, but the fandom would know anyway.
Yes. regardless, it didn't get as good reviews as the previous game, Fire Emblem Three Houses, which was kind of more of like a Harry Potter type
game. I have seen a lot from that fandom, and I'm not in it. So, like, I am aware of that one. Everyone is really into the Three House teachers. I don't know.
They love Edelgard, which, let's be real, who doesn't love Edelgard?
Yeah, that one. Yeah.
It's like her...
She's great.
Bernadetta, Petra, I feel like those are the ones that I see a lot of, like, art of.
If you put art from Fire Emblem and then, like, from other anime, I would not be able to point it out, but I have seen a lot of art that has, like, captions with Fire
Emblem. That's Edelgard.
Let's see. No memory, but I'm sure I've seen her.
I have no idea why this says sausage biscuit, but that's Petra.
It should. I've seen that one.
Okay, and let me find Bernadetta.
I've never seen that one. There's also, the, like, thing a dude. That, like,
is it maybe Claude? People seem to like him.
Yeah.
Yeah, bad guy. Claude. I don't like him. He's a little too slick, I guess. Anyways, yeah, so, like, I feel like half of Fire Emblem is, like, the fan art and the, like, fan debates that go on Tumblr and stuff about, like, I don't know, because there's usually different routes through the story in Fire Emblem Three Houses. There's definitely, like, the whole debate about, like, which pathway is the right one or the, you know, like, the most morally correct one.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a whole thing, and it doesn't help that, like, it feels like the whole... A lot of the storytelling is focused around, like, the idea that, like, in conflict, both sides believe that they are the righteous ones. And that seems to be the theme of, like, pretty much all of the modern games, that they keep trying to retell this same idea over and over again, but in different ways.
Mm-hmm.
And it's interesting to see this same... I will say this is really cool that they have this same theme, but they approach it from different ways and say, like, how can we depict this theme in a different way? And they've done it, like, four times now, I feel like. But it's, I love it. I don't know if I've sold you on it. This wasn't a very good pitch, but happy to hear your thoughts.
Let me...
Do you even own a Switch?
My brother has one, yeah.
Okay.
Do you even own a Switch?
No, it's not like, I'm not asking it in, like a mean girl sort of way. I've never heard you play, be like, oh yeah, I was playing Breath of the Wild. Or, like, you've never said anything like that.
I don't play video games.
You do play video games, just the weird ones.
Hey, just because that's true in every sense of the word. It sounds interesting.
Yeah.
I would never have the, like... attention span, I feel
you,
like.
Yeah, you do like need an attention span because it moves pretty slow. It is anime chess.
Yeah. I mean, the closest I can, like, compare this to from personal gameplay experience is probably Child of Light. Have you played that?
Yeah. It's like that, except it's on, like, a
3D and not 2D.
Well, it's 3D. It it's on a battle and... grid.
Okay, gotcha.
It's like Final Fantasy Tactics. Maybe, or Ogre Battle.
I'm, like, aware of of the play style. I just never played any games like that. I think I tried XCOM, and then okay. I just, like, 3 minutes in was like, oh, bored, bye, and then didn't.
Yeah.
But that's I love when people talk about it.
I'm progressing pretty slowly through it, because it is a lot of, like, you have to have a lot of mental, like, I'm playing on harder difficulty, uh-huh. whatever it's called, and you do have to have a bit of, like, it's not just, like, I don't know, like, there are a lot of games I play where you can just, like, shut your mind off and just kind of mindlessly have fun.
Rush in.
This is definitely a game where you have to be tactical.
Uh-huh.
So that's why I also have not made that much progress, even though I play it, like, I can only do, like, one mission at a time.
Gotcha. Like, I do like when people talk about games like this. My cousin was telling me about his run of Fire Emblem. I think it was Fire Emblem. The Three House one.
Yeah, Three Houses.
So, like, I enjoy the stories and other people enjoying it.
Yeah.
I'll probably, like, if I'm ever at your place, I can try it. But I don't know if I'll be able to. You've seen me unfocused and dead-eyed trying things.
Yeah. I mean, it might just be worth it to do it on, like, the easy difficulty and just, like, steamroll the battles and then enjoy the social aspect. I don't know.
But also, you know, who knows? Maybe I'll be super into the tactical part and, like, not care about anything else. That also happens sometimes.
Val will surprise you. I set her in front of Elden Ring, and she just, like, first of all, she's, like, an Elden Ring prodigy. I've never seen someone take to a FromSoft game so quickly before.
Oh, well, thank you. I think it's because you're like, so you can make this character and that character, and they have, like, certain buffs, and I go to the last one, it's, like, a naked person, and you're like, oh, no, don't. And I immediately was like, wait, no buffs? No bonuses? Let's go.
Yeah, she started as the, I forget what it's called, it's the one the that hermit. Starts at level one. Yeah. Wretch? No, something
probably.
Like that. Anyway. Okay, your turn.
Okay, now that we've complimented me appropriately, yes. Thank you very much.
Yes.
I completely spaced out. Hold on, I had something. Oh my god.
I've got a list. Come on,
you
didn't have a list.
You literally, like, shied me into forgetting what we're talking about.
Okay.
You know what? I'm going to pivot a little bit. I did have a show in mind. I've kind of talked to you about that show, but I'll mention it maybe afterwards. I'm going to go into a video game that I can always play.
Okay.
And it is not necessarily gay, but it has a very, like, a big community and a lot of modders, and it's constantly being kept up and new stuff coming out. Have you heard of RimWorld?
Yes.
That is a game.
I know nothing about it. Talk to me about RimWorld.
So basically, I have, like, a little bit of a story. It's not a story. A long sentence of how I got into this.
Okay.
I have seen that game kind of, like, being mentioned around my internet circles, whatever. And I did not like how it looked, like, visually. Because it's, like, a 2D kind of, like, zoomed out. Oh, my stomach just growled. Zoomed out, like, colony builder thing. And I usually don't. I'm very aesthetic. Like, I'm very shallow. If something is pretty, I'll be like, ooh, I'm interested. If something is
Val
not pretty,
judges books by their cover.
Absolutely, all the time. Without fail. And and basically, it was mentioned one too many times, and I didn't want to just get it, so I looked for a YouTube thing. And there was a YouTuber who did not scream and was not very high energy.
Okay.
It was just the dude playing.
Few and far between.
Yes. And I was like, oh my god, this does not annoy me. In fact, I quite enjoy it.
Do you know who that YouTuber is? We should shout them out.
Yes, of course. Of course I know. I still watch his stuff all the time. It's Radamant on YouTube. Okay. Let me spell that.
I think you've recommended Radamant to me before.
I probably did. He's just a chill guy. Like, he talks, but he's not, like, he's just a normal person.
Yeah.
So it's Radamant, spelled like Radamant. And I think it's like some Greek mythology creature or something. But he was playing that game, and he just happened to be one of the first people I found who does the game.
Yeah.
And everything kind of cleared up a little bit about it, so I gave it a try. The thing about this game is it's a little unintuitive at first, at least in my experience, Because in most colony builders, you get, like, you select, like, a building, right? Like a stockpile or whatever, and you place down that building, and then they build it, and then you choose, like, another building, and you place it down, and they build it, right?
Yeah.
In this one, it's more like you build whatever you want. All you get are walls and furniture. So that was something that I wasn't used to. I was used to, like, you know, having a select amount of things that we can create and then going off of that. But in this game, you can just build the base however you want. You can make any room. There's no, like, there are very few mechanics that designate, like, specific rooms.
Okay.
You get bonuses, of course, for, like, having bedrooms for people or, like, having a clean research lab. Like, there are things like that. But nothing tells you, like, how big to make the hospital or if you have to have one or if you want your people to live in a cave. Like, there's no rules. The only thing you have to do in this game is you start with a character or two.
Yeah.
And now there are a few more endings, but the original vanilla game kind of ending is you build a spaceship and you get out of there. Because it's a rim world. Basically, the whole thing is either you crash on it and you have to escape, or you're like a tribal from that world and you have to escape. But basically, you can build whatever you want, however you want it. There are enemies. A lot of people like to roleplay stories into it. There are a million mods. So even if you just have the vanilla game with no mods or anything like that, not a single gameplay, like a game through, playthrough. Whoa, just glitched. Not a single playthrough is going to be the same ever.
Yeah. Okay, so can I ask, like, because my brother is also a big RimWorld fan. Is it, like, so the goal is just to, like, build a base and defeat the enemy? So it's just, like, a base builder? Or, like, what does, like, success look like in RimWorld?
So before, success looked like you build a spaceship. You defend that ship from a massive raid.
Okay.
And then you can put your colonists on it and leave.
Okay.
But to do that, like, you have to research a lot. You have to build up resources. It's expensive. Things like that, right? Recently, they came out with, I believe, 2 DLCs or 3.
Okay.
There have been a bunch of DLCs. They're all really good. And the first one was royalty. Basically, there's like a fallen empire faction.
Yeah.
And with this DLC, it becomes a part of how you can win the game. If you do enough missions for them, suck up to them, like sell them either like people or gold. There's a lot of war crimes in this game. You don't have to participate in them, but there are a lot of them.
Okay.
Basically, you can get their favor to the point where they take you on their ship with them to escape the world.
Okay.
There's also a new one where basically there's like some sort of weird technology thing. It's called the Arcan Nexus. And I don't know what that ending is, but you have to move from like map to map, which adds a new playstyle. It existed in the base game. Like, you can move from your tile to any other tile and settle there. Nothing is stopping you. But this specific, like, playstyle kind of forces you to move tiles and abandon your bases and start almost anew. And you have to do it, I think, like, 3 times or something. I don't know how it ends because I've never, like, completed it or played it. And I've never seen anyone do it either. But, like, they've expanded how the endings can be.
Yeah.
But also, it is, like, such a flexible game. Your ending can be like, oh, just live on this world for 10 years and see if you can make it. The difficulty levels are vast. You can have up to like 500% difficulty. You can also just play a peaceful little like farming simulator. Like, it really doesn't matter. I think the thing that I personally like about it is that like it keeps my attention. And there are mods that can make your characters like have a bigger chance of being gay.
Okay.
Because there are queer characters. Like, you can have pawns that are gay. You can have pawns that are asexual. And, like, there are mechanics and benefits to certain traits. For example, an asexual pawn, they don't really have that many mood swings around relationships, right? Like, they'll never get divorced. Things like that. And it's very simplified. But, like, it's one of the few games where queerness kind of plays into stats that I found.
Okay.
And it's kind of interesting in that sense. It's a very minuscule part of the game, like, tiny.
Yeah.
I usually don't play with, like, the mod that makes everyone gay. I tried a couple of times. I got so bored. I think because it was, like, too modded.
Yeah.
It wasn't because of the gay part. Let me clear that up. I think I just modded it too much, and I was like, everything is too easy. Nothing is balanced. So I, like, quit those runs. But it's just a game that kept my attention for quite a long time. I'm sure that if I check Steam right now, it's going to be a hilariously low amount of, like, hours that I played it.
Okay.
But in my mind, this game has taken many hours of my life. Let me look it up right now, actually. See, only 230 hours.
Only.
Only. And I last played it October of 22.
Okay.
But that is probably one of my most recently played games.
Okay. I'm down to give it a try.
Yeah. And if anything, like, just watch, like, a YouTuber play.
Okay.
A lot of times it's just fun to see, like, a YouTuber play it.
Yeah.
A lot of them are kind of loud.
Yeah.
I have a select, like, two that I would watch, maybe.
A select two. Okay.
A select, like, two.
What was the Ramoth or whatever?
Radamont. And Radamont. There's, like, a guy who I'm not as familiar with, but he plays it all the time, and he plays only on max difficulty, and he doesn't pause, and he does, like, all that stuff. Ooh. And it's pretty fun, and okay. I think it's Adam versus Everything, if I'm not mistaken. I'm not sure, but that
isn't
sounds
that,
like
isn't that a different thing? Is that, I thought that was that one where the guy debunks things.
No, and that's Adam Ruins Everything. That's a TV show.
Okay.
This one is
okay,
a YouTuber.
You
I
gotta
think
admit,
it's Adam
that's
versus.
Pretty close name.
It is very close. I almost said Adam Ruins Everything. Okay, I will admit that.
Okay, so I'm not crazy.
No.
I mean, I'm crazy for other reasons.
Not this one. No, okay. This one we are correct. So that is my little pitch for this game that doesn't really have a plot, and you can make up your own plot, and it's silly. Oh, and just one last thing.
Yeah.
The descriptions in the game of, like, things that people do to each other in battles. Yeah. Are hilarious. Like, sometimes you get things like, they get into a social fight with each other, right? And you'll have something like, Blorg bit off Chauncey's leg in a social fight. And it's like...
Not Chauncey.
No!
No.
And it's just, like, the most violent descriptors of these little pixels.
Okay.
And it's hilarious. Especially, like, when you're fighting in battles. It's just, it's silly.
Yeah.
It's your turn, Chloe. I've talketh.
Okay.
I'm out of breath and excited.
What are your thoughts on Lovecraftian horrors?
I enjoy them.
And what are your thoughts if, like, say, a Lovecraftian horror became a young woman?
Oh, Chloe, tell me more, please.
Sorry, I'm like frantically Googling because I just need to find the name. So this is a work. It's an online fiction work, so it's free to read.
Uh-huh.
The name of the story is Call an Ambulance by Ellie Nalle, I think. N-A-L-L-E, Nail. Ellie Nail. It's on Scribble Hub. And in this work, this Eldritch abomination from beyond the stars basically is trying to hide from some, like, really powerful beings that are trying to destroy it. So it hides out on Earth as, like, a 20-something woman.
I love it.
And falls in love with another woman.
Okay, the art for the cover is beautiful.
Yes.
That is the first thing I will say.
And
mm-hmm.
It's kind of presented kind of in a comedic fashion. Like, there's a lot of humor about how good glass is to eat.
Okay, I mean, yes.
Like,
my stomach just growled so very loudly as I said that.
Yeah, Val wants to eat some glass.
I do want to eat glass. It looks pretty. And you can't have it.
Exactly. That's kind of the joke. but yeah, it's really fun. It's an easy, short read. I think you could probably get through it in an hour or two. And it's just a fun read about this. It's funny because we just recorded the Owl House episode where I talked about how much I like a story where it's about this character from, like, a fantasy world trying to fit in a mundane world. And that's exactly what's going on in this story that I read actually last night after we talked, because I recorded that episode, because I was just like, I want a story like that, and then I found this.
Okay, I'm super excited about this one, actually.
It's like, really good.
Yeah.
It does end pretty, you know, like, it's short. I wish there were more.
So it's finished?
Yes.
Oh, that's rare.
Right? Like, it's sometimes online fiction, you know, I love it, and I love finding stories like Catalepsis and Practical Guide to Evil that just go on forever. But it's nice sometimes to just have a story that you can read in an afternoon, and then it's done. And that's,
it'll take me approximately 3 to 4 months, but
yeah, it's a lot of fun. I don't think I have to say much more than that. This can be a short one.
This is exciting.
Yes.
This one I'm really sold on.
Okay. Like,
yeah, you knew exactly how to get me into this.
I knew. Yeah. I knew that I would have one stand out. Okay. Okay.
Do you have another one you want to talk
about? Yes, this next one's going to be pretty short, too.
Tell me all the stuff you like. Come on.
Okay. Okay. This one is, I picked this one out for you because it kind of reminds me of The Haunting of Hill House.
Okay.
It's a podcast called Mabel. M-A-B-E-L.
Okay.
And it's all about this woman who's a nurse who's taking care of an elderly woman who lives in this kind of old haunted house, basically. And the conceit of it is that she is calling Mabel, who is the woman's granddaughter, and leaving voicemails about what's going on in the house.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a lot of, like, mind-bending stuff that's going on, and there's kind of an implied kind of romantic interest between the nurse Becca and, or not Becca, Becca's the actor, Anna and Mabel, so there's some queerness there. I don't know, it's just this like beautiful, very like lo-fi, just like poetic woman talking into a quote-unquote phone about what's going on in the house.
All right.
Yeah. So it's just, it's beautiful. It's great to put on, like, as, like, atmosphere, I feel like. Like, I've really been listening to it while I, like, wash the dishes or, like, tidy up and, you know, on a late at night. And it's a beautiful podcast, and I'm really enjoying it. I don't know if I have much else to say about it. It's a good podcast. It's actually fairly lengthy. I think they've got like 45 episodes out.
Okay.
I'm only on like episode 9 or 10.
Oh, so it's new. Nice.
Well, it's new to me. I think it's been going for a couple of years, but it's really good. The actors.
Yeah, that's what I meant.
The actors are really good. Yeah,
and is it is there like, it's only calls so far, right?
Yeah, so... minor spoiler is that like there was like one letter that was read, and there was one part where Mabel actually called back and tried to tried to leave a message for Anna, but I don't know that it went through because Anna's kind of in this like
in a haunted house.
It's in this haunted house, but there's
she's
like
in the
maybe
Bermuda.
It's like there's like a house inside the house kind of thing. It kind of reminds me of House of Leaves if you've ever read it.
I haven't.
Where there's kind of this other world maybe that you access through the house. I don't know what's going on really, but I'm really enjoying it.
That's good. I've subscribed. I will give it a listen.
Good.
I will try hard to latch onto a story.
It is now your turn. I think this will be our last one.
Okay, yeah, let's...
So make it count. Make it count, Val.
Oh, it will.
Okay.
I have mentioned this probably a million times.
Uh-oh.
It is a podcast.
Okay.
And it's D&D. I don't believe you listen to NADPOD.
Yeah, it's NADPOD. He talks about NADPOD all the time.
Because it's really good. And I'm actually going to talk specifically about a campaign they did that is like removed from the overall kind of big story of it.
Yeah.
So they had a few mini campaigns. They had two specifically that are really mini, but the one I'm talking about is their season 2 campaign.
Okay.
Basically, the overall, like, they started with the regular, like, D&D adventuring party. The premise was that they are a party of adventurers who are trying to, like, make it through a world in which there was a hero party that, like, quote-unquote saved the world. But you know, like, when we play, a lot of times we leave messes behind after defeating, like, the bad guy?
Oh, so many messes.
So the premise is that these characters are in a world post the level 20 character party run.
Okay.
And they're the ones making their way through it and fixing messes that were made by
That's literally what our campaign with Dan is like, dude. That's us fixing the messes from a previous campaign.
Well, I don't know that, but yes.
Yes. Yeah.
The one I'm going to be talking specifically about is their second season.
Okay. Which is called what? Because I'm looking at their website and they've got filter by series. So how do I, what series do I filter by?
It's not Bohemia. It's not Trinivelle. It is
Eldermorn.
Eldermorn. Thank you.
Eldermorn.
Eldermorn?
No. It's Elden. Eldermorn. Foul tarnished. Okay.
And basically, that is their season two. I think it was only like 60 episodes. The other one, by comparison, was like 115 or something, or 100. But it was much longer.
Which is a commitment.
It is a commitment.
But 40s, okay, and how long are each episodes?
They're not Critical Role long.
Okay, because Critical Role, man, that is that is the barrier for me, is doing those like 4-hour episodes.
Yeah, no, definitely not. They vary from like 1 hour to 2 hours.
Which is reasonable, because I feel like that's like, okay, an hour to 2 hours, that's something I can do on my trip, maybe into the city.
Yeah. So it's not very, like, they're long, but they're not that long. And the story's really good. And basically, the premise of this campaign is that it's low magic, grimdark, kind of like a little Slavic in nature, fairy tale kind of place.
Yeah.
And it's still hilarious and silly and all that stuff, but, like, they really capture that, like, atmosphere really well. And Emily Axford, who is one of the players, I think she always plays queer characters.
Okay.
Like, I've never seen her not play a character that was queer in some way. And in this one specifically, she plays this, like, quirky, weird witch who, like, grew up alone. And there's a lot of longing because she grew up with her best friend who disappeared. And for her, the quest of, like, going through this adventure is she's looking for her friend. And, like, she's very fruity. She's very limp-wristed. I love it.
Okay, this is Fia Baginha.
Yeah, Fia.
Who seems to have books that are animate. I'm so looking at the About page. Yeah.
She has a book that's her familiar. I can't believe I forgot. It's Bookvar.
Bookvar.
Yeah. So it's just, it's very silly. It's also kind of dark. Not in like a, oh, you're going to get emotionally destroyed because everyone dies all the time way. But, like, it is a very, like, gray fairy tale, which I really like. And it's not that long. The story moves quickly. All the characters are fun. And, like, out of all of their stories, this is probably my favorite, even though I love all of their campaigns so much. Like, it's really, really great. It's also, I feel like, the most, like, story-driven so far. Because, like, the first one was just, like, an adventuring party, and it grew into a much bigger adventure and all of that, of course. And the one they're on right now, it's, like, building off of a previous plot and, like, expanding on it. And it's very dependent on history, but also its own thing. But, you know, there's that connection.
Yeah.
This one is very much a standalone that, once you get through it, it's done. But, like, it is specifically crafted to be a very specific story. And I've really enjoyed it. There's a lot of, like, shenanigans that I like that aren't too silly. Because sometimes, like, you listen to something and it's like, the characters are not taking it that seriously.
Yeah.
The players are not taking it that seriously. And, like, this is not it. Everyone cares deeply about the story, but they're also having fun. And I really like that. And I would suggest just giving, like, the first couple of episodes a try.
Okay.
Because it does get expansive afterwards and, like, really great.
I will give it a try. I will give it a try.
That is my story. Do you have a closer that you would like to talk about? Just any other bonus little things that you would recommend?
Poker Face. The show, it's on Peacock, starring Natasha Lyonne. There's not a ton of queerness in it, but it's just like, it's just a murder.
Watch it.
It's a murder of the week, and it is so freaking good. If you like Glass Onion, or if you like Natasha Lyonne, or really,
if you like both,
you have to watch it. It's so, it's it's nothing like, it just does a really good murder mystery. It's not even a murder mystery. It's less, here's the interesting thing. It's not a murder mystery because you see the murder, you see how it occurs. What's interesting is how she unravels the mystery, which I think is very unique for this type of show. Rather than it being about who did it, it's about how is she going to find out who did it, which is really
interesting.
Yes.
All right. Which,
a unique twist. So that's my final thing. Do you have a final short thing?
Sure, I'll just kind of mention it. It's not really gay, but I've been kind of getting into Darkest Dungeon.
Okay.
And that's a fun little game. I'm excited for it.
Yeah.
It's cool and interesting and gothic.
I think I own it, and I've just never played it.
I've been watching this dude play it, and he has the deepest, like, deepest voice. And it's so soothing. And it's like, yeah, bro, tell me about this game. Just
if you want Val to play something, just make a YouTube video with a guy with a deep voice telling her about it.
He doesn't have to have a deep voice. He just has to not be like, welcome. You know what I mean? Like,
what's up, gamers?
Hit that like button.
It's your boy. Hit like, comment, and subscribe for more content. Hit that bell icon. Mm. I don't know.
Yeah, it literally just now, like, my pulse spiked because I, like, got so irritated.
Is like, some screenshot, and then it's them, like, making, like, that goofy face
oh
in front
God,
of them. Like,
yes.
With their mouth hanging open, like,
I and hate
the title of it is, like, I got 3 blah the blahs in level 7.
Yeah.
You won't believe what number 2 is. I don't know.
I just, now that you said it. All the YouTubers I watch have thumbnails that is just, like, the cover of the game and a number on it.
Okay.
That is what I want.
Can I shout out a YouTuber real quick?
Yes.
Actually, his name is Grimbeard.
Grimbeard.
And he has this goofy skit where he's got a talking pug robot, which is excellent. And more people need to watch it. He does, like, a lot of, like, goth-themed games. So anything that has like a vampire or vaguely detective alt murder mystery.
He has a Signalis one.
Yeah, he has a Signalis one, which I'm not going to watch because I'm trying to play that game. But he has one like for Parasite Eve that's really good. And that's a game that like no one talks about. And
I've never heard about it.
Right? No one talks about it. But it was like, I feel like it was a very groundbreaking JRPG and no one really talks about it anymore. Anyway. But Grimbeard is great. That's it.
End of podcast. So this is just us recommending YouTubers.
Yes, this is
guys. Watch YouTube. Have you heard of it?
Have you heard of this thing called YouTube? And also this video called Charlie Bit My Finger.
Oh, I've heard about that one.
And this great song called Shoes with a drag queen. Oh God, this is taking me back to.
Yeah, I just had like flashbacks.
Everywhere. I remember watching it over and over again with friends in college because everyone was so obsessed with it.
I remember hearing it in the high school library over and over again and people pulling me over to watch it. And I was never a fan, but you've showed it to me recently and I was like, oh, this is kind of funny.
I showed it to you. I feel like I would not have watched it, but maybe I did.
No, you were watching that Tumblr youngin who talks about like trends.
Oh, Strange Aeons.
Yeah, and she was mentioning that video, and I think she played a clip.
Another great YouTuber.
Yeah.
Yeah, anyway, I think we should wrap up.
We should.
We could do a YouTuber episode.
Oh, I guess. I just literally only watch, like, dudes play a game quietly.
Okay. Well,
I haven't found
one,
any women playing games quietly.
Mickey D, who has an Irish accent, is great.
It sounds familiar.
Wait, there's a woman who I was watching who is excellent. Tango Mushi.
Link.
Okay. TangoMushi. We'll put all these in the description, I think.
Okay. I don't know who
she
the first
only
one
has
either,
done a few she either. Has only done a few videos. But like they're very high quality. And let me link Mickey D as well for you. He's all over the place. He does a lot of like I bought all the Sims DLCs and let's play through them.
Okay, gotcha.
But he also does a lot of like Elder Scrolls and Harry Potter. He does an interesting mix.
Is that the one who we watched play Harry Potter?
Yeah.
Oh, probably. Okay. Yeah, we were at your place.
Not the new Alpha one. One of the old, like, Lego ones. Don't worry, we're not endorsing like the new Harry Potter.
Like the PlayStation 1. He was, like, yes. playing all the different versions of the first game on, like, computer yes. versus, like, PlayStation versus...
And he just goofs on them.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, okay. that was a random segue into, like, YouTubers. But any final thoughts, Val?
I've had so many thoughts this episode. I'm all thought out.
Okay.
Do you have any?
No. My final thought is that we have some social media to plug. Our Twitter, Instagram, and Pinterest is @InMediaLez. Our subreddit is r/InMediaLez. And our Tumblr is...
thepodinmedialez.tumblr.com.
Our website is InMediaLez.com. And you could email us at InMediaLez@gmail.com. Thank you so much for tuning in.
And tell us what YouTuber doesn't annoy you.
Yes, or what show, series, books, too, whatever we can check out. preferably if you have a deep YouTuber voice and can maybe send us an audio clip. That will work for Val.
Yeah, send in your audio clips. That is a terrible idea.
But this is a bad idea.
Thanks, Chloe.
You're welcome, Val. Send it specifically to Val, though. Don't send
to
it to
me. Not to Chloe. Yes. You have to figure out where to send it, though.
Yeah.
The effort will be appreciated.
Yeah. Finding her Tumblr is not that hard, though.
I guess. And you know what? We'll see you in the next one, friends.
And God bless you.